Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm here for this.
Thanks to Mark Lazarus, Chris Capuano, and
Chris Herring
for joining us today. Hockey, baseball, a little basketball. And right now, I need a single-digit number for
you. I got you a number. Let's go with 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Incredible. I don't know how you do it. Undefeated. But caller 4 to the contest line, 312-591-6700, wins a pair of tickets to see the Bulls and the Grizzlies. We will get you help on Wednesday, February 13th, courtesy of 670 The Score. Your home for the Bulls. We thank Zawoski Camp and Diaz, the producers, Brian Gertz, the video feed, Joe Ostrowski with the updates. Tomorrow, Pete Futek is going to join us on the Kyler Murray stuff, and we're going to have live sound from Mesa pitchers and catchers reporting. Here they are, McNeil and Parkins.
Hello. Good afternoon.
What's up, boys? Connor, welcome back from Vegas.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was not a profitable trip, but a very fun one. I learned some lessons, changed my game around, and now have a crap strategy that I'm very confident in.
Oh, sure you do.
Did she share her roulette strategy with you? I know she prospered at the roulette wheel. Did she share?
She prospered. She prospered very much. 22. Not only... Not only would she not share the strategy with me, she wouldn't let me bet while she was betting. I was ruining the mojo.
Oh, you're the bad luck guy.
Yeah, as soon as I came around, anybody, she'd be the only person betting. Because as soon as somebody started to glom onto her bets, started to follow her bets, she felt as though the intuition was gone and needed to leave the table.
Wait, she needed a roulette wheel to herself?
Not to herself, just nobody she knew. Nobody she knew.
Okay.
That would be the moosh, right?
Once people at the table started like following her around, she would pull back on the monies some.
Oh, couldn't handle the public pressure.
More or less, yeah. And still did really well.
I just like the idea of Connor's girlfriend opening up a private high rollers table. Like, no, I'm the only person who could have this wheel.
Would not be surprised at all.
That's awesome.
Would watch her win, and then just, you know, that's Vegas. That's Maud is what it is.
Little news here. The Kareem Hunt is a Cleveland Brown.
It's big news.
And that's huge. A surprise. I had the Bears as the favorite to sign Kareem Hunt, and I was hoping they would have signed Kareem Hunt. So the Bears' loss is the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland's got a pretty good-looking football team.
Nick Chubb, Duke Johnson, 11th. Kareem Hunt is your backfield. Yeah.
And that young defense.
And Baker Mayfield.
I would have had the Browns in the top five of favorites just because of John Dorsey's ties to Kansas City. And he's an executive who knows talent. He hit on those top five picks last year. His draft record is sparkling since he's been given control of teams, both with the Chiefs and the Browns.
And this is what John Dorsey had to say. My relationship and interaction with Kareem since 2016 in college was an important part of this decision-making process. But we then did extensive due diligence with many individuals, including clinical professionals, to have a better understanding of the person he is today and whether it was prudent to sign him. There were two important factors. One is that Kareem took full responsibility for his egregious actions, showed true remorse, and secondly, and just as importantly, he is undergoing and is committed to necessary professional treatment and a plan that has clearly been laid out. We fully understand and respect the complexity of questions and issues in signing a player with Kareem's history and do not condone his actions. Given what we know about Kareem through our extensive research, we believe he deserves a second chance, but certainly with the understanding that he has to go through critical, essential steps to become a performing member of this organization, aside from what the NFL determines from their ongoing investigation. We fully understand that Kareem is subject to discipline by the NFL. Here at the Browns, there is a detailed plan with expectations laid out that he understands and must follow, because any similar incident will not be tolerated. We will support Kareem through this process and utilize our resources, however permitted, to help him become successful on and off the field as long as he continues to show the commitment necessary to represent this organization.
That's well put together.
That's pretty good. That's a lot like
very
Addison Russell.
Yeah.
I'm surprised a little that the signing happened before any known suspension, and there's another element at play here. He's from Ohio, went to Toledo, and the incident where the video of him pushing and shoving and kicking the woman was at a Cleveland hotel.
Yes.
So they're bringing him home, so to speak, and to the area in which the thing that got him kicked out of the Chiefs actually occurred. So that's an interesting dynamic too.
Yeah. How many games was he whacked for last year? Four? Five?
He's on the commissioner's exempt list for the last five
last
games.
Five
but that
games.
Wasn't a suspension. The Chiefs had right. just released
and
him.
And the commissioner was asked about it Super Bowl week, and he said they have not made any decisions as to whether they're going to count that as part of his discipline. I don't know. I hate it that this is my reaction, but it's just, I'm going to say what I'm thinking. Were the Bears asleep at the wheel on this?
His agents
should the Bears have been involved in this?
Maybe they were.
His agents would not be doing his job if he didn't reach out to every team that had expressed interest. Right? There's no way this catches the Bears by surprise.
We couldn't get a read from George McCaskey by, you know, nonverbal communication or verbal when we had him in here. He was refusing to want. He had no desire to look at the video of the assault. And said his mother would not look at it and was very, very, just didn't show his cards in any way.
Remind me in case I missed it. He said he'd look at the video if it became pertinent to the pursuit
Correct.
Of the player.
Yeah, he
right?
said if his football people brought it to him, he would look at the video, but he doesn't make it his own policy to watch videos of people at their lowest right. moments, and so we weren't there yet.
He said that's a perverse behavior in our society, I believe is what he called it.
Because of your interview with him, I think a question that'll be asked is, did you watch the video, and is that what led to you not being involved in a pursuit of Kareem Hunt, or turning off a pursuit of Kareem Hunt?
It's also possible that the Browns didn't. They paid him more. They gave him fewer stipulations in his contract. He wanted to play at home. He thought it was an easier path into their backfield. I mean, there was no guarantee that Kareem Hunt was going to be a Bear just because Matt Nagy said that they wanted him.
Yeah, I think those things are true. I think those are two things I'd like to find out about this offseason pursuit of Kareem Hunt, a player who was on the exempt list like that. Did the Browns or any team know about what's coming suspension-wise before they signed the contract? And what's the number? Was there any kind of bidding war for a guy who will likely sit out more games and did sit out, was released by the Chiefs? Because if it's a league minimum contract, if he's at the floor, then every team was going to be at the floor in terms right. of bidding.
Yeah, I don't know if he had options.
I don't know.
You know, maybe the Browns were the only team willing to sign him now, and he wanted the signing to come down before a suspension. I don't know.
Some will view this as the Bears dodging a bullet. View this as Bears fans not going through the cognitive pressures of having to deal with the stark reality of the kinds of people for whom one roots. Others will say, like, that Bears should have gotten him.
I think that he would have made them better, but I also think we saw this past NFL season that if you've got a great offensive system in place, running back production is relatively replaceable. James Conner. Mm-hmm. Replacing Le'Veon Bell in Cleveland, Damian Williams replacing Kareem Hunt in Kansas City.
Like, it's a running back.
It's a running back, and it's largely a byproduct of being in a good system. But he absolutely would have made the Bears better. And now I'm wondering what the Browns know. Like, maybe the time on the commissioner exempt list is going to be put towards the suspension, and they're saying that the domestic violence minimums don't apply here because this wasn't domestic violence.
Right.
And Kareem Hunt plays opening day. I think that's in play. And then you've got to think, wow, they got a steal of a football player, and we've had to sacrifice our own morality or cognitive split in rooting for football players way more than Kareem Hunt.
Let me ask this, too, as I need a check of football barometric pressure here. Dan McNeil watches the Pro Bowl. Sometimes
usually,
bets the Pro
yeah.
Bowl. Did you watch the Alliance?
I did not.
You did?
I didn't watch a minute
Any
of
interest?
It,
no. Or
not particularly,
okay.
No.
It didn't pass the McNeil
no,
test.
No, I'll let this be the next acronym league that folds in 2 or 3 years.
Even though there's some cool stuff going on.
I've heard there are some cool things going on. It's just if it's not NFL or college football, no thanks.
Okay.
See,
Well, that says something.
Yeah, I didn't watch, but I also was busy entertaining friends from out of town and my wife's birthday, and we were just doing things. I was eating my way through Chicago. But whether or not I watch feels kind of irrelevant because I think this league matters for the NFL. I think they would love to have some league that they, even if they don't have a financial stake in it, they clearly are okay with its existence, as evidenced
by... more than okay. They're helping it out.
Well, yeah, right. It's on the NFL Network. On the front page, they're sharing broadcast partners.
They can experiment with it. They can play with it.
And that's something that football doesn't have that the other leagues do.
A way to beta test stuff?
Exactly. Yeah. If Major League Baseball wants to test something, do it in the minor leagues where no one cares about the results. In the NBA, put it in the D League. In the NHL, put it in the AHL. Football can't do that with college football because they want that free labor system of talent coming in.
Well, and I assume it's a very distant bullet point, like 6 or 8 pages back in the whole AAF thing, but there's got to be some sort of what if college football goes away or doesn't get played the way it's played now, having a feeder system that doesn't cost you what Major League Baseball does, even though it could cost you more. I think that matters some. Probably very, very little, but some.
So you think that's in writing, what if college football goes away for the AAF?
Not in writing. No,
okay, yeah.
Just that there could be a developmental league that the NFL has to foster if college football changes. I mean, we talked about the insurance that's going away, or at least the landscape that's changing there. I wouldn't be surprised at all. It's been the future.
I also think it's going to work, whether it's the AAF or the XFL, or they mold together into something. Like the standard of working is simply making money. And there's now so many more broadcast options available that people just need content. You're telling me February and March, a 8 or 10 week football season in non-NFL markets can't make a little bit of money when they're not paying players that much and they already have the broadcast deals in place? I wouldn't be surprised at all if this works.
Yeah, there were some arena teams that were doing okay. There were some arena teams that when they were able
in
to...
In the South, right?
I think the Philadelphia Soul were... And for a while here, the Rush were doing
okay. Yeah, the Rush did okay.
Yeah, the problem was the rampant, ridiculous bull market valuations of the team that outstripped reality and changed things. But as long as you're careful with your labor costs and insurance costs and all that stuff, there's got to be a way to thread the needle and make some money on it because it's football. And as long as it's a representative product, you find enough quarterbacks.
But aren't some minor league baseball teams profitable?
Yeah.
Like on their own as businesses?
Well, they're not paying players. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of minor league teams that could be
profitable. These guys aren't paying players either. $6,000-$7,000 a game.
No, but I mean, literally, the minor league business is not paying players.
I understand what you're saying, but I just, like, these guys are making such little money that they're not going to have high labor costs. Though they might have more than minor league baseball, but it's a really short season.
But I wonder if your insurance, I mean, because the MLB organization handles all of that. When you're a minor league owner, you're just a marketing thing. You're an entertainment.
You're a ballpark.
You're a ballpark.
You're a ballpark that's leasing players.
Correct.
More or less.
Correct.
Yeah.
You're an entertainment product. So if you do it right, you
I thought some
up.
Of the rules were great, though. Like, I'm on board with almost all of them. 30-second play clock, no extra points, no kickoffs.
Yeah, no onside kicks, 4th and 12 from your own 28 instead of an onside kick.
Yeah.
That's great. Instead of running some stupid play where the ball bounces, get a first down.
I think all of those rules are fun.
I think the most likely thing to change, though, is the broadcast stuff that they've been doing with actually putting a microphone on the referee. Sky Judge?
Mm-hmm.
The Sky Judge that's going on here, you know, you get to hear them work through the call, change it, look at the replays, and they bring you to the call as opposed to just letting people guess as to what the hell is going on.
I did a Twitter poll today, the first Sunday of many, with no NFL, what did you do to fill the void? Was it hockey? Was it basketball, movies, television, or other? And I asked people to specify it was other. And hockey, by the way, is leading my little survey.
Well, big cheek, Chief Magpie.
Yeah, that's true. Take it with a grain of salt, right?
That's right. You're followers.
Yeah. A lot of golf. A lot of people said they enjoyed golf. There were a few AAF people, but most of the sports thoughts were golf fans.
There are two great visual golf tournaments that are absolute can't miss if you've got a big, good television. Pebble Beach and Kapalua. When the screen is just filled. And granted, the weather was awful. They had an inch of hail at one point. But some of those vistas that you get and some of the blimp shots.
It also warms you up.
That you get, but it's just it's beautiful. I mean,
I've played Kapalua. It's an incredible place.
The sights and sounds of Kapalua and Pebble Beach, they're absolute can't miss for just sitting and kind of getting that zen.
You don't really necessarily have to, you know, be digesting everything, just as noise.
Feeling
just,
it.
Yeah.
And we had we invented a sport on Sunday. Have you ever played mini golf outdoor mini golf in an inch of snow.
Can't say I
have. No, Dan, I haven't.
It's nothing I was sober enough
okay.
to remember.
So
we invented it.
We went to the Diversey driving range. They got the heat lamps in there. We wanted to go hit some balls, so we figured, yeah, what the hell. We go over. We'd already gotten our golf discount card for the year, so we just wanted to go hit. And we go hit for a while.
Were there people there?
Yeah, there's always people there.
Well, I mean, it was really cold this weekend.
There's heat lamps.
All right. It does a good job.
As you guys hit balls in sweatpants.
No, it's cold.
Snow pants.
It's cold.
Yeah, it's cold. It was really cold on Saturday.
It's livable,
yeah.
Danny.
Yeah,
you can make it.
You get a hoodie on. You're fine. You get a little lather going. You take a few swings in a hurry. And,
Saturday was very cold. That's all I'm saying.
So, but we're hitting, and then we're leaving, and we look at this beautiful snow-covered 18-hole area, and I look at the woman inside. I said, "Is this open?" She's like, "No." I said, "It's not." She goes, "You can play it." I mean, she goes, I'm not gonna charge you for it. Like basically, they're like, "What idiot
would play putt through the snow?"
It's just snow on the ground. Exactly. So I looked at it. I said, "You know, we have to do this, right?" And he said, "Yep." So indeed, we got through the and you can't see where like there's branches on there and
you didn't
rocks.
Play 18 holes.
We played 18 Stop. Holes with an inch of snow on the ground. It was hysterical. And we finished up like, that's one of the dumbest things we ever did.
I can't imagine there's anything dumber.
We actually out there beating
putts. Changes. He gets his driver's license probably.
Oh, don't scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as dumb things. But as far as harmless dumb things, no, I've got evidence of it. Look.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's an inch of snow.
How hard did you have to hit the ball?
Really hard.
Really hard.
You had to hit crow hop into the thing.
Hard. And it wasn't. And we had to use our own. It was actual golf balls. It wasn't mini golf balls because she's not going to give us. So we took out actual Titleists to try to play. And even those you had to hit really hard.
What do you mean, even those? You're putting through snow, of course. Like, you could use a hockey stick.
Sense.
You'd have to hit it really hard.
That makes sense. I don't think it was the golf ball's fault.
Yeah, I don't know I'll ever do that again, but we can say we did
you
it.
You could say you did.
So non-NFL, that's what you get. That's really stupid.
That's special.
Hawks had a great first period yesterday. Not so good in the second and third, but they're doing what good teams learn to do, and that is get 2 points when you don't put your best foot forward. They're giving up way too many shots on net, but the offense has been terrific. And that second line yesterday stole the show. Give me some more Dylan Strome, ladies and gentlemen. And what you guys talked about with Lazarus, is your question was right on the money. Whether they get the 8 or not, they're better next year. You feel good about their team next year because they have some terrific young talent up front. They won that deal with the Coyotes. That looks like a terrific trade.
And there were a couple moments. There were a couple three-shot save flurries that Cam Ward had somebody sitting right on top of him in the crease, and he was pretty good.
Yeah, he has been good. He still scares me. You know, when we talked to John Weidemann about it last week, and he says, well, you know, he's won a Stanley Cup, and I'm thinking, yes, when Bush was in office.
Yeah, right, yeah, 06.
I didn't say that to John to burst his bubble, right. But yeah, I kind of remember that. The Hurricane did win one of those things.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see Ken Dryden in there now either. Right,
but if Delia continues to develop that tandem, they're not going to win the Cup this year, but we're going to make a show investment on them to win the conference today. They're plus 7,500 to win the West. We might as well jump in now.
Okay, where did you see plus 7,500?
Somebody sent that to me either on Twitter or on Facebook.
Okay, because I had Shep look at it. You know Bovada. They give you those terrible futures
Bovada
odds.
Bovada has, right. This guy says he had it at 7,500.
If we can get that...
What do we have it at? 50 at least?
45.
45.
But you're right about Strome. Strome's got those like side view mirrors thing going on. You know, that's pretty cool.
He's hockey boy, I'm told, though. Not necessarily ready for air shift here with us.
I see.
Young and very hockey-ish. But that's okay. Just keep playing, man. Just keep getting it done. And Cahoon was great yesterday. I'm excited about it. You know, I'm going to watch every game the rest of the way. Yeah, Boston tomorrow night. If they don't make it, they don't make it. They've been fun to watch, and it's I'm not into AAF, and I want to play golf more than I want to watch it on TV. So they have my undivided attention for the rest of this season.
Otto Porter's debut didn't do it for you?
I understand he had a debut. I expect you to tell me about that today.
I'm here for you, buddy.
I know you are.
He looks like a young Lionel Richie.
Really?
He looks like a less angry thing. Andre Dawson.
There's a little Andre there, yeah. But I kept thinking. I was trying to figure out who he looks like.
Oh, you got yeah. A little. Yes. Yeah, a little.
I think more than a little.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, goodness.
Doesn't it feel like they're gonna get the fourth worst record?
He's the child of Charles Oakley and Lionel Richie.
I simmed it on
Charles Leno.
I simmed it 10 times on Tankathon today and averaged out at the 5 pick. So 4 would be an improvement from where they're
in a 3-person draft.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Where the 1 is so far and away better than the other 2, and then you can't be at 4, they'll have the 5th pick.
Okay. Yeah, and I like watching Duke Virginia too, because I started laughing, realizing at the end that at one point Duke has a white guy named White. Virginia has a white guy named Guy.
So they could be standing next to each other and be White Guy.
They have White Guy out there.
They have a coach named Token. Yeah.
Like, there he is. There's White Guy.
Man, if Duke hits their threes, they're not losing to anybody. That was a moon pounding against Virginia. My God. And that Zion Williamson block, like, what do you think? Most iconic block college basketball is probably Hakeem Warrick.
First one that came to mind was Hakeem Warrick on Heinrich, right?
It was on Michael Lee.
Michael Lee, okay.
Yeah, it was on Michael Lee of Kansas. But the Zion block was twice as athletic as the Hakeem Warrick block.
We had to go to YouTube to look up Charles Barkley blocks. So look up some of the times where he, at all of 6'5 and a half, whatever he is, leaped up the air and caught it.
Like
ripped a shot out of the air, shot that left the guy's hand, and Barkley just caught it.
I'm convinced that it's not hyperbole. I think he's the best athlete in basketball. College or pro, best athlete in basketball right now is Zion Williamson.
I'm not going to suggest otherwise, because people said Saquon Barkley last year was the best pro running back in the world before he'd played an NFL down, and they didn't look entirely stupid after you watched Barkley play, and I mean immediately.
Giannis,
so I won't dismiss it.
Giannis is obviously a freak with his length, but he can't. He's not as strong as Zion. He can't jump as high, and he's 4 years older. That is a 19-year-old kid. That is a 19-year-old kid with a 44-inch vertical leap who wears 285 pounds chiseled.
Did you hear Mike DeCourcy's story this morning when he was talking to Mullion Hawe about his first experience with him? He said he went to see him as a high school player at one of these big tournaments. There's multiple teams around there, and he knows, like, he gets the schedule for who's where. There were no rosters. They ran out of rosters or whatever, and someone pointed him in the direction that he's over there, and he knows that he's got the right school. And he saw this giant kid and just took out of the equation that could have been Zion Williamson.
Because he figured he was an adult?
There's no way.
He figured it was some football player who happened to be there running with him. And he's like, okay, well, there's that giant kid. And where's Zion Williamson? Like, didn't even consider that somebody that big was not only a basketball player, but this basketball player. So, like, yeah, that's Zion.
Well, his high school highlights are hilarious because he didn't go to some prep school powerhouse. He just went to a school in South Carolina, so he was playing against the JCC. Like he was like playing against kids that looked like me and Burnsy. And it was just totally unfair.
I
felt sorry for him.
Believe it or not,
Dolph Shays just called. He said, "Watch it now."
One of the comps that I've heard as far as body type and athleticism actually did dunk on me in a pickup game.
Nice,
Rodney Rogers. Rodney Rogers was a student at Durham Hillside High School before he went to Wake Forest. And if you look at pictures of Rodney Rogers, this impossible freak of a man-child, he used to play on Central Campus where we lived. He would show up for games and run. And I got out of the way. I didn't. There was no contact because that was a freight train coming at you. And you're like, oh, I'll be over here. Well,
thank you. No.
Yeah. From what I've seen, I feel like his floor is Amari. Just this incredible second jump, will be able to dunk over everybody, will rebound immediately.
And transition.
And we don't know if the skills will ever develop. And if he gets hurt, it limits him so much because so much of it's athleticism. So that's,
and he could carry bad weight. That would be a worry of mine.
Yeah, and Amari's a little taller than him. You know, I don't remember Sean Kemp as a prospect. So that's the most popular one, I feel like, in league circles right now is Sean Kemp. I don't remember him as a prospect.
Bigger. He's so much bigger.
Yeah, well, that's why I gave him Amari, who's 6'10".
There was a Sean Kemp high school all-star game where he had, and I kid you not, like five consecutive possessions of ridiculous alley-oops because they knew nobody could stay with him. And it was the most jaw-dropping. We'd never seen anything like Sean
He's an
Kemp
underrated
before.
YouTube rabbit hole.
See if you can find whatever high school all-star game that was. Okay. I remember we were clustered around a tiny little television in a dorm room watching this game on like some proto ESPN programming thing. Just like, oh my God! Screaming at what he was doing.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Ayton's averaging 16.5 and 10.5. And so why would Zion Williamson be worse than him? I can't think of a possible reason.
Shorter.
But the guy, he's got a 44-inch vertical leap. Like, he's going to dunk on everybody. I really think the league is just, it's so spread out and everyone's behind the three-point line. And then there's just going to be this guy that booms on everyone's head. All the white guys. White and guy.
White and guy. I'm white. I'm guy. Together, we can be a team.
Of white guy. Yeah.
The Bills had a guy named Gabe Northern a few years back. And at the same time Gabe Northern was a pass rusher in the league, the Eagles had an offensive tackle named Jeff Pike. And I was always hoping they would get on the field
someday
at the same time to create Northern Pike. But I never did get my dream photo.
Damn.
I'll have to settle for white guy if it happens.
All right, boys, you have refereeing stuff.
We got a lot to do today.
Yeah,
we're
Red
gonna
Cash
have some
and
fun.
Die, Jerry Markbright. Sorry to interrupt.
You're good.
Local guy. He's my Mishbuga when it comes to guys who wear the white hat. So we'll talk with Jerry about that and potential replay tweaks. Some basketball, some football, some hockey, some weekend reviews, some birthdays and anniversaries, and a lot of slappy time.
What
and
more
Will
do you need?
Smith is blue.
Yeah.
Pass. Yeah. See you, boys.
Bye. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.